Is the video ready? Yeah? Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of the Integrated Waste Management Authority of San Luis Obispo County for Wednesday, September 13th, 2024. I'd like to call this meeting to order and ask for roll call, please.
Ms. Barton is absent presently. Mr. Barbeau?
Here.
Mr. Enns?
Here.
Mr. Guthrie is currently absent. Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Ms. Marks?
Here.
Mr. Newton is absent presently. Mr. Paulding?
Here.
And Mr. Robert is absent presently. We have a quorum.
Thank you. And now I'd like to ask past President Charles Barbeau to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now for our first item, I'd like to ask if there's any public comment on an item that's not on the agenda this morning, this afternoon. Sorry.
There is no public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll go to the Executive Director's report. Peter Cron, Executive Director.
Thank you, Past President Marks. We're still working with the San Miguel Household Hazardous Waste location. We're trying to compile a site plan. And with that, we'll bring back a request for proposal for construction and development at the HHW site for San Miguel and get that started. The Heritage Ranch relocation site, we're also going to be bringing that back hopefully at the same time. So those are both site work projects where we go in and we put down concrete, asphalt, create traffic patterns, and start the permitting process. The Heritage Ranch is a relocation, so its existing facilities will be moved to a new concrete pad. The San Miguel location is a brand new location, so it's going to hit that underserved area in the north San Luis Obispo County area. I was a guest lecturer at Cal Poly Environmental Engineering 439. It was fun. I always enjoy watching the people, watching the lights come on when you're speaking with college students. I don't know if they're actually ready for me all the time, but you know, it is what it is. And then SB 54, the final comments on the final regulations. We're due November 4th at this point in time. Now we've got back what looks like a version of the promulgated regulations. It's coming in. It's going to be an interesting time because $300 million a year being collected eventually on this is going to put a lot of emphasis on where those funds go and what happens with them. And I'll keep you posted as it gets closer in the process. Building update on 555 Joro. We have the building. We're in the process of getting IT involved to rewire the building so we can actually move our equipment down there and have an operating working space. And from there, we'll make some small changes as we go along, but that'll come over the course of time. So we still anticipate moving into the building sometime around the 1st of November, so the next executive committee meeting will be in that building. And then public-facing solid waste containers. We've got a lot of interest from our member jurisdictions regarding public-facing solid waste containers, so I'm going to bringing something back to this board, the concept on how we can better address that. You know, we have the ability to fund some of these things. It fits within our role, and it gives us an opportunity to address litter and fugitive litter up and down the coast and in some of our inlet areas along the riverways. City-county payment grant is due November 19th, and that's the funds that we get for unredeemed CRV containers. And then we've been approached by Hitachi Zosen Inova to look at the feasibility of operating a depackaging center where we take goods that are collected, goods that are now currently being backhauled to Southern California by grocery stores and grocery outlets, and taking those materials, creating a food slurry that they would use at HCI to better improve the operation and functionability of that facility. They're looking at doing it anyway. Our role would be to help facilitate it, to offset some of the costs that our ratepayers would see if we didn't do it. Illegal Dumping Task Force met on November 4th, and we discussed creating a long-term approach to address illegal dumping throughout San Luis Obispo County. The source reduction and recycling element in its environmental impact report identifies illegal dumping to the IWMA as a potential risk to the environment. And so my recommendation, we've met with stakeholders involved, which includes the CSDs, the county, County Public Works, the Sheriff's Department, and look at forming an ad hoc committee from this board to help me formulate how our response would look. Illegal dumping is something that impacts us all, and we have an opportunity to address this. And you know, what I'm looking for from this board at some point is to create this ad hoc committee so that we can actually address this problem we've got going on throughout our county. And that, I think it fits within our message, it fits within our role, and it's something we can actually help with. And but I would like a little bit of board support or board interaction to continue to move this process forward. And then SB 1383 procurement update. And this is funny because we filled this out just yesterday, and our target is 14,000 tons. Year to date, we've accumulated 21,000 tons, 98% of the 100% CalRecycle goal. And this morning, Ashley told me my numbers are already wrong, that we're actually at 100%. So when you look at this from the perspective of you know, what does it mean? It means that we've created a circular economy with our organic waste. We've actually closed that loop. We've actually met the goal. I don't know how many other jurisdictions have done this, but we've actually got there. We get some parasitic load credit from the Hitachi Zosen Inova anaerobic digestion facility, but the balance of this is compost that is generated from our organic waste that is going back out to agriculture and being used in agriculture. The last bit of this was compost that was going out to French Camp Vineyard, which, by the way, is one of my favorite vineyards. It's from a winemaking perspective, I really like French Camp. And then the last piece on this is the California Attorney General sued ExxonMobil as a public nuisance, claiming deception about the recyclability of plastics. That's going to be an interesting piece. We'll see where that lands. We'll see what kind of horsepower the California Attorney General has in this case. ExxonMobil is a pretty large organization, so it'll be curious to see where this all lands. And that concludes my executive director report. Do you have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I just had a question about the depackaging during the executive committee meeting. I asked the question, what exactly is depackaging?
What is depackaging?
And you gave a great explanation that I think the rest of the board could benefit from hearing.
Sure.
What the heck that is.
So depackaging, say for example, you have a pallet of outdated yogurt cups. And so what the depackaging device does is they take that pallet, they dump the entire product onto the conveyor belt. It goes up, it shreds the material, it takes the food slurry away, and that goes into the food slurry that goes into the anaerobic digestion facility to help its biology. And then the balance of the materials are separated out and either recycled or disposed of. So what you're doing is you're recovering the food waste. That's the goal of depackaging. The second thing that depackaging can do is that if we have front of house locations where the material isn't as clean as we'd like it to be, this piece of equipment will help us manage that to reduce contamination that goes into our organic waste. And it's an expensive proposition, and it's incredibly loud, incredibly noisy, throws stuff everywhere, but it's really fun to watch. The benefit of this is that it actually increases the functionality of the HDI digester, and it cuts down their operating expenses for fats, oils, and greases.
Yeah, and to follow up on that real quick.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of that machine? I mean, how much, I mean, is it like 99% or, I mean, that they can get the contaminants out of the stream?
They recover about 98% of the material because it creates a centrifuge as it does that. So it's actually taking the liquid waste and throwing it out.
Got it. I see.
but.
So is it like a machine, or is it like a small building, or?
It's a big machine and a small building.
Okay. All right.
Good answer.
And so are we're being asked to help finance that?
Yeah, we're being asked to help finance it because it is an expensive proposition. But in our current position, we can't afford to do that. And what it does, it will in lower because they're going to do this eventually anyway. They feel that it's viable. We're looking at it from a perspective of do we have enough volume to justify the cost? That's what we're looking at from a feasibility standpoint. If we have enough volume to justify the cost, then it will reduce the cost that the Hitachi Zosen, they're not even Hitachi anymore, the company formerly known as Hitachi Zosen Nova, will be investing into this project, and then thereby reducing rates to our ratepayers.
I did, and I see Mr. Paulding also might. That leads me to a couple questions. I think Mr. Hammond was getting at, so you know, you crush all these packages and you suck the food out. How, you know, this must be a very sophisticated machine that you now don't get plastic pieces of yogurt cups or pieces of, you know, plastic meat wrapping in that contaminates the stuff, because I understand, you know, that contaminants lower the value of the compost. So it's it must be a very sophisticated machine.
It's a very sophisticated machine.
Okay.
They call it Thor.
Interesting, because I mean, it must tear things apart and yet somehow only take out the goods, you know, the food stuff.
So yeah, so it's a technology that uses almost a hammer mill approach when it comes in. So basically what it does, it shreds and then it pushes it out through a screen that allows it to capture the plastics and keep the plastics moving on. Okay. or the metal or the cardboard or paper products.
Got it. I'd like to see that in action sometimes. So the other thing you mentioned, it's an expensive machine. And we, of course, right now, you know, have a good financial reserve. But I'm wondering, okay, you know, but that doesn't mean we should just spend money because we got money. What is our role? What is the benefit to our agency and our mission? Is it just that we're fostering a higher percentage of recovery? This will count towards our compost recovery rate? Or what's the particular benefit to our agency
mission?
So
there's three basic components to this that are benefits. One of them is it cuts their operating costs because it allows them to procure this material, get it into their waste stream, and it improves the biology in the anaerobic digestion facility, creating additional gas, surplus gas, so they can sell on they can generate electricity with and sell on the grid. That's one thing. They don't have to buy the fats, oils, and greases. That's another. And it'll speed up the digestion process of the materials going through. So with this increased activity in the biology, they'll be able to accept additional organic waste that we're traditionally looking at that constitutes the green waste material that you put in your cart from the perspective of grass and yard clippings.
I understand how it's beneficial to the process. It's beneficial to our agency mission because it diverts more.
Well, it allows us to divert more material, but it also, it's something that would be an averted cost that our ratepayers would be paying over a course of time.
Okay.
Because what we would be doing is we would subsidize this piece of equipment going in so that the ratepayers wouldn't be burdened with the full capital cost of this operation.
Okay, great. That's what I want to understand. Thank you. And then the San Miguel HHW, what's the opening date, guesstimate for that?
Yeah, we don't have an opening date yet. We haven't even got it to the RFP process.
Oh, okay.
But the assumption is once we start on this process, it should be about a 4 to 5 month process.
Okay.
Depending upon
so next spring, next summer, by then. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Excuse me, I know Supervisor Pauling has a question, but do we have a hard stop at 3 o'clock?
No, we don't.
Okay, very good. Mr. Paul.
Thank you. You talked about creating an ad hoc committee as a recommendation on the illegal dumping, and I appreciate you taking the time to meet with the task force to really kind of talk through that. So I'd be interested if our board would be willing to pursue that. I certainly wouldn't mind serving on the ad hoc committee from the county perspective. So I'd be happy to make a motion accordingly. I don't know, Jan, we were talking about a little earlier, if you would want to serve on it from the City of Slo perspective, or?
I was looking around for other volunteers, but I'm certainly willing to participate. And the City of San Luis Obispo is experiencing a lot of that illegal dumping, but also from the unincorporated areas of the watershed, the pollution is coming into our city. So, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. Can we appoint someone now, or do we have to put that on an agenda later?
So the creation and appointment to ad hoc committees are at the discretion of the board chair. So what I'd recommend is at this point, if there are any other members who are interested in this ad hoc committee, that you can express that interest now. But board action is not necessary in order to form and to appoint to this ad hoc committee.
But this isn't our committee, correct? I mean, this is a committee we would participate in?
No.
Or is this just us?
This is currently just us.
Just, oh, okay. It's our ad hoc committee.
So we have, how many would you like to see ad hoc wise?
Three is always good. Four is great.
Okay. I'll be on it.
Robert?
So we got it. Yeah.
So
we have four. I mean, if someone else wants to be on it. Anyone else?
Someone from the North County.
I just, well.
I'll try and do it virtually, John.
I'll be happy to do it if we need to, sure. Not a problem.
We could still meet if only three can attend calendar-wise.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so for the benefit of our clerk, could we just maybe repeat exactly who's on it?
So that would be Board Member Paulding, Board Member Marks, and Board Member Roberts and Hammond.
Yes.
So I think one challenge, Mr. President, is that may constitute a quorum of your executive committee. And so only one member of the executive committee should probably serve on this.
All right, so now we're back to three.
Okay. Perfect.
You can have as many people as you want, as long as it's less than a quorum.
Yeah, three is good.
Three is good.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Supervisor Paulding and okay.
That gives us
it's
a good
Supervisor Paulding,
and myself.
Yeah, Past President Marks, and Board Member Hammond.
Gets us from north to south pretty much on the county.
Very good. Good. Okay, thank you.
Okay, that concludes your report. Thank you very much. Do we have any, moving on to the consent agenda, do we have any public comment on the consent agenda?
We do have a public comment that was distributed via email earlier, and I also have a physical copy if anyone needs any.
Do we need to read that?
Read it.
Okay. I don't have it pulled up.
In the interest of time, we will not read the whole communication.
Okay. I can summarize that we are in a violation of the Brown Act in regards to the closed session?
There are various allegations. We're happy to agenda. We're happy to agendize a closed session if you'd like to discuss the allegations themselves. I will just present both for the board and for the public that the budget adjustment request that's on the agenda today is it's a notification to the county auditor controller that's required. Your board took, as your legal counsel, I believe, appropriate legal action in order to approve the purchase of the property and all activities related to it. So this is provided to you as public comment on an item that's on your consent agenda. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, or if we need to schedule a subsequent closed session to discuss.
Any questions from the board?
I haven't had an opportunity yet, which I'm looking at now, the letter in question you're talking about. So kind of wanted to take a moment here. I don't know if everybody else on the board has a chance.
Is it in our package? Did you?
Yeah, it should be in the package.
It is in the package?
Yeah, and easier to read.
Yeah, be a lot easier. Probably.
Will it's not in the board packet. I'll walk around. I'll distribute this in a moment. So this public comment is addressed to the budget adjustment request, which it has other allegations, including a public records request. But I don't believe that your board needs to not take action on the bar form, which is simply being provided and filed with the county auditor controller, in order to address the allegations of, again, alleged Brown Act violations or other issues that are raised here. I'll walk around and distribute a paper copy that you can review at your leisure. If you have any questions about what's raised here, please feel free, again, either after the meeting or even during the meeting, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Again, this is being provided to you as public comment because it's related only partly to that bar form, but this is raising other questions.
Yeah, so the budget adjustment request strictly pulls our budget into alignment with the purchase of the building. It is, it's basically the paperwork we need to keep our budget in alignment with the County of San Luis Obispo's Auditor Controller Office. It has nothing to do with the actual purchase of the building. The purchase of the building was brought to your board and approved by your board during closed session.
But is it council's opinion that the, you know, that there was not a procedural problem with what we did or what we did not announce, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes. So that after reviewing the public comment, that's what I believe to be the case under the relevant laws, under relevant state law. And then furthermore, again, there's no action that the board can take on the consent agenda that relates to the allegations here in the packet. But just to be very clear on my answer to your question, I do not believe that the allegations that are presented in this letter are legally valid. I don't think the board has something to be concerned about with the allegations raised in the letter.
I believe the recommendation was to pull item 9 and discuss it. Is that something we don't have to do?
If you'd like to pull item 9, you may do so. What's their request?
Not that I would like to pull it. I just are required to pull it. Have to pull it and discuss.
The board is the one who decides what items get pulled. The public may request and recommend that an item be pulled from the consent agenda, but that's ultimately at your discretion.
Thank you for that.
But we could pull it and vote on it separately.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just go over the consent agenda real quick. Executive committee minutes. Receive and file, board meeting minutes, review, monthly financial reports, number 8, the Halswell and Company LLP auditing services, engagement letter, and number 9, resolution budget adjustment request, capital outlay, and number 10, the 2025 IWMA calendar. Does anyone on the board like to pull any of those?
I would like to pull the calendar because the calendar doesn't have the right number of days on it.
It's not correct.
So I'll bring it back to you in January.
Oh, we'll bring it back? Okay. So we'll pull number 10 and bring that back in January. Get that calendar right. Anything else? No? Okay. Can I get a motion to
public comment?
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry?
Can we do public comment on the consent?
I did.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Well, I can do it again. No one came up. I asked for public comment.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Thank you. Get a motion, please.
I'd like to move approval of the consent agenda, except
second for
item Hammond. 10, which is being continued to January.
A second?
Second for Hammond.
Okay, very good. Is that a voice?
We'll have to do a roll call vote.
Roll call.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Barton? Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to regular agenda public comment. Anyone like to make any comments on the regular agenda from the public? Not seeing any?
No public comment.
No, nobody's on the phone. Do we have phone? We don't have phone. Okay, very good. Okay, the regular agenda.
Item number 11 today is a technical assistance grant application from the City of Oro Grande with a recommendation for the board to authorize the executive director to award $10,000 in grant funds to the City of AG to purchase water bottle filling stations for city facilities to assist with the city's waste reduction efforts of single-use plastic bottles. Here today to present is Bill Robeson, Assistant City Manager, Public Works Director from the City of Arroyo Grande.
Welcome, sir.
Again, my name is Bill Robeson. I'm the Assistant City Manager and Public Works Director. So I oversee a lot of the construction projects in our city, the maintenance of our infrastructure. And part of that is the way that we provide water to people. And this is an even more detailed component of how we provide water to people that are traveling through, visiting our facilities, and I'll go over that in just 1 second. So these are examples of the project that we are looking at, the equipment that we're going to be using with the grant funds that hopefully that we have approved today. And the locations are two outdoor areas at our Soto Sports Complex. We have thousands of people go through this complex. We sometimes think it's between about 5,000 to 7,000 people per year. And it's seasonal, obviously. We have all types of sports there. But they sell a lot of water there in bottles. We'd like to eliminate that. We'd like to, and we see people that bring their water bottles in, fill them up at that little rinky-dink drinking fountain that we have there. We would obviously update that, improve that with the filling station that you see next to the before picture. And then we think we can eliminate a large amount of that single-use plastic. These are our Elm Street Park pickleball courts. Again, we have constant use of these. There's lighting in the evening. It's year-round because of our beautiful weather. And we'd like to, again, offer the water filling station there. And we think that we find a lot of water bottles kind of strewn around and thrown in the trash here. And we see that as a real opportunity to reduce that. And then at our council chambers, we have quite a few people use our council chambers, not just for our public meetings, but for our staff meetings or even some school functions from the high school, you know, all types of things. We'd like to be able to provide that water filling station that you see there, which is a little bit different than the others. Get rid of that kind of Culligan, I shouldn't name a brand probably, that kind of plastic bottle use. And with the plastic bottle use, we have cups that accompany that little old type dispenser. So I'd like to get rid of all that, and this will be a huge step in that direction. So again, our project goals hopefully align with IWMA's in reducing litter, reducing the water bottle disposal, increase participants, and use reusable containers. As you all know, the budget is $10,000, or the grant amount is $10,000. We would match that with our labor. There is some plumbing that needs to be done to upgrade a couple of the fountains, and then to allow that water dispenser to be installed at the council chambers. So there'll be some plumbing work there. So yes, that's the budget, small portion. We can jump over that one. Again, diverting waste, we are always looking at that. We have recycle containers paired with our trash cans throughout our city, just like the city of SLO does. And we are always looking for opportunities to capitalize on reduction of solid waste. So. Thank you. And I'm not sure if those other slides are that relevant, but I can answer any questions you have at this point.
Any questions from the board? Yes.
Yeah, Robert. Mr. Robertson, I was thinking what I saw on that sports complex, it's only for bottles only, or is there an actual drinking fountain too incorporated in that tall device?
Well, that one, if you want to jump back to that one is for... for bottles only.
Yeah, only.
And then we would be retrofitting some of our own drinking fountains.
I see.
To be more up to date and more easy to use, cleaner, sanitary.
Yeah, somebody that doesn't have a water bottle.
That's right. Still, yeah. Yes. So we have a few of those dotted around our complex.
Good observation.
Yes, thank you.
I can attest to Soto.
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to joke that as a kid, I used to drink out of that drinking fountain at Soda Sports Complex. And so because of the nostalgia, I don't know if I can support replacing it, you know.
Okay, okay. Well, we'll try to make it look like it's old, but we'll make it new kind of thing.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. Any comments, questions? No? Okay.
I was going to say that Paso Robles has taken advantage of this with our, in our,
yes, you have,
all too. And
yes,
it's a great way to save some plastic, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And it definitely fits our role. And I can attest to Soto because my daughter played more soccer there than all your Saturdays occupied. That's AYSO, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any more discussion? We get a motion?
Well, I think this
they have a discussion?
I think it's wonderful.
Okay.
So that's my comment. And my, okay. I don't know if we want to deliberate any further, but I'd like to move approval when the moment is right.
Okay. Moment is right.
I was going to second. I was going to make the motion, but that's fine. Jan's got it done.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to move approval of the technical assistance grant application for the city of Arroyo Grande. In the amount of $10,000.
Second.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Abstain.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Moving right along, number 12, technical assistance grant application.
Item number 12 is a technical assistance grant application from EcoSlow.
And Chair, if I may just interject, I need to recuse myself. My wife works for EcoSlow. So question for Daniel, do I need to step down from the dais or do I just abstain from the vote?
You currently work for...
No, my wife works for the organization.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
I can just step down to take the...
Yes, that would...
From precaution.
In this case, I think that may be the safest.
Perfect. Thank you.
So the recommendation is for the board to authorize the executive director to award $10,000 in grant funds to EcoSlow to help businesses reduce single-use waste through the reusable rebate initiative, two annual in-person events, and social media content. And here today to present is Grant Halit, Program Coordinator from EcoSlow.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. My name is Grant Halit. As I mentioned, I'm the Program Coordinator for EcoSlow. And next slide. Yeah, so just to talk a little bit about our Reusables Rebate Initiative. This initiative would be part of the Green Business Network, which EcoSlow operates here in Slo County. The program is designed to support small businesses, local businesses in minimizing their single use and unsustainable container waste through a $250 rebate. Next slide, please. So yeah, so in terms of our goals for the rebate participation is for 14 businesses over 2 years, and this would be about 7 businesses per year on average, which would go with our already green business certification we're in the process of with many of these businesses. Currently we have over 33 businesses certified and 93, which we're in the process of working through. And then in terms of public engagement, we're looking at 4 free in-person events that would be all across the county. These would be free events held open to the public. These events would be about 2 per year, which the speakers would be brought in to discuss items such as reducing food waste, diverting organic waste from landfills, minimizing single-use plastics and packaging, and just in general, raising awareness about proper waste disposal and best practices in sustainable alternatives. And then in addition, we'd be looking to work on more of our Eco Tip Tuesday social media posts, which we've done in the past with the IWMA and we've always really loved doing. These posts would cover topics such as how to properly recycle based on local regulations. That's something we always get questions about and something the community is very eager in, as well as things such as separating organics, of course, which I know is a big, big thing right now for the board. Next slide, please. So in terms of how our funds would be used, as I mentioned, the program itself, the Green Business Network, is dedicated to helping small to medium-sized businesses enhance their sustainability practices. And this program would offer a $250 rebate for businesses with the goal of reducing those single-use items, specifically in places like kitchens and break rooms. This is something we always look to do as part of the Green Business Certification, and it's something we found that businesses sometimes can struggle with, especially because it can be that kind of initial cost that they're a little hesitant about doing. And providing additional assistance for purchasing items such as stainless steel cups, metal and bamboo utensils, cloth napkins, metal to-go containers, things like that, would be really helpful. Another big one is providing the opportunity to replace, perhaps they've acquired a dreaded kind of Keurig machine in the past. We know those things are create a ton of single-use waste, and there's something that the Green Business Network generally promotes getting rid of. So that's another one that we find people are always looking to get rid of, and we want to help support. Next slide, please. So in terms of the program benefits and how that would work within the framework of the tag and what you guys are looking for, again, a big part of that thing is just offsetting that additional, that cost associated with purchasing those reusable items. The Green Business Network is always about trying to help people. We view ourselves as being able to be resources for local businesses and help them achieve the goals. We think sustainability and prosperity can kind of go hand in hand. We want to assist with that. In addition, we find that kitchens and break rooms are where a lot of businesses, especially offices, can generate a lot of their single-use waste. And so we believe this could be a great opportunity to help to reduce that valuable land or conserve valuable landfill space that's super important. In addition, those biannual gatherings that will be free and open to the public will help with the public understanding of waste reduction strategies and best practices. Next slide, please. So our budget's pretty straightforward. We're asking for $10,000, as previously mentioned. About half of that would go into the staff time. So that would be things such as engaging with local businesses as part of that whole outreach for the rebates. In addition, organizing those public events, and then also creating those social media posts, those weekly posts for our EcoTip Tuesdays. Program expenses are pretty straightforward, $3,500, all just broken down into those 14 rebates, again, 7 per year. And then administrative is a 15% of indirect, so $1,500, which would be for indirect costs such as our ongoing costs for software and utilities, things like that. And that's it. Thank you so much. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, just to be clear, so your match here is going to, and actually just went away, but your match here is going to be $1,500 on.
No, that's not the match. So the match is outlined in the grant itself, and it's a substantial amount. It's we view our staff time we're already doing as part of the Green Business Program to be a big part of the match. The goal would be to incorporate this hand in hand with the green business work we're already doing with our partners at 3C Ren.
So it's a total of $15,000 in staff time, $10,000 in the match, and $5,000 in what I just saw here.
I believe that's what's outlined in the grant itself.
Okay.
Back to the slide up.
Okay.
Very good. Mr. Eanes?
Just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Did you have a question or a comment, Mr. Eanes? Robert? No? Your mic's on. Okay. Seeing no other questions, nothing from the public. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh. Okay, any further discussion? No, we're looking for a motion to approve. Pin just fell apart.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
I will say here that this, okay. That in this case here, there's just a lot of staff time. And when we're looking at these matches, the match for all the other ones, there's hardware, or in this case, I guess it would be rebates. And then, but now we've kind of upped this to where we're going to have an additional $5,000 in staff time that's not necessarily directly related, and then $10,000 because of an ongoing activity. I have to admit I'm kind of uncomfortable with this one because the match really isn't there. In the past we've done 50% matches, and this feels like a 25% match.
So. So, yeah, I can see how that could appear to be that way. One of the things about this is it's introducing the reusables concept back into some of the green business activities. So this is a segment of their green business activity. So yes, the match is staff time largely due to what they're already out there doing. They're just looking to incorporate this reusable practice back into their green business outreach. So I can see it looks gray. I'll say that.
Mr. Chairman?
Make a motion if you're
ready. Ready to make a motion?
Ready to make a motion if you
like.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and authorize the executive director to award $10,000 in grant funds to EcoSlow to help businesses reduce single waste through the reusable rebate initiative. Host 2 annual in-person events and social media content.
I'd like to second it.
Second motion.
Okay. Can I have a question or discuss it by way of a question? Do we, in relation to Member Guthrie's question, though, do we provide applicants any kind of criteria for?
Yeah, so
we explain how a grant should be calculated. Or
yeah,
how
particularly on this one, in their final reporting, they're reporting to us. They're going to have to demonstrate how they matched these items. So I feel comfortable that they're going to be able to do that with this because it is reusables is that unknown entity out there, especially with food service and foodware. And so how we're going to do this is this, we're going to be working hand in hand with them because we're an active member or active participant in the green business modeling, in the green business certification for a lot of the businesses. So yes, we'll be working pretty closely with them on this. We did not get too deep in specifics on this particular grant. But because we knew that we were going to be taking on a larger role in the green business model.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I have a first and a second.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
No.
Mr. Paulding abstains. Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. So we'll bring Mr. Here he comes. Just give him a second. Here he comes. So item number 13, solid waste management study fee.
Correct. So the recommendation on this is that we approve staff's ranking and recommendation of R3 Consulting and be authorized staff to negotiate and finalize the contract with solid waste management fee with R3 Consulting, authorize board president to sign the final contract with R3 Consulting. So our solid waste management fee, that's a portion of our revenues that we see coming in. It's one of the larger portions of our revenue. In June of 2022, the IWMA adopted a 5.4% solid waste management fee for all commercial residential customers. This proved to be a revenue surplus for us, which you know, while at the time seemed like it was necessary because we were running at a deficit. Then in June of 2023, the IWMA temporarily lowered the solid waste fee to 4.4%, and then again in June of 2024, the board once again lowered the solid waste management to 3%. In reaction to our earnings that got us into a position where we have that substantial earnings. The solid waste management fee, the executive committee approved the RFP for the solid waste management fee study on August 30th of 2024. RFP was posted on the IWMA and CRA open bids websites. Three qualified firms submitted proposals, HF&H Consultants, R3 Consulting, and Raffatellis. And on October 25th, a panel comprised of myself, board member Guthrie, two local jurisdiction officials reviewed and rated the proposals based on the criteria established in the RFP. The proposals were evaluated and the qualifications were weighted on qualifications of the firm, technical work plan, local or state government references, and the budget and retainer. And through those ratings, R3 ranked the highest from those three qualified bidders. Their distinguishing characteristics, they can conduct detailed rate reviews and index rate adjustments. They develop rate models and multi-year financial projections. They revise rate structures to support solid waste management objectives and comply with Prop 218. And they submitted a competitive rate compensation in relation to the quality of work presented to their proposal. So the fiscal impact is about $40,000. It's within our budget projections, and it's a specialized scope of work. And we also have Garth Schultz here today from R3 if you have any questions relating directly to that. So that our recommendation goes back to approving and accepting staff's ranking and recommendation for R3 Consulting and authorize staff to negotiate, finalize a contract for the solid waste management fee with R3 and authorize the board president to sign the final contract.
Very good. Any questions? Comments? No?
Peter, what's the length of the contract? How long would it take to have the roughly?
So our intent is to have this back before fiscal year 25-26, so we can actually incorporate
into our
this, you know, we're still trying to run back and complete a zero-based budget, and we felt that R3's was competent in what they were doing to the point to where they could meet this expectation and bring it back so that we have something that's working.
Very good.
Peter, if I recall correctly, one of the reasons you wanted this, though, is the or felt it was necessary was 218 related in the sense of ensuring that, you know, the cost of service is relevant across the board. So this fee study could result in significant recommendations changing the nature of the makeup of the fee. That is to say, perhaps that it should be bifurcated, or, you know, having different fee levels for different types of users or different.
Yes, and so R3 was one of the only consultant on this that actually entertained the concept of how to get to that point. And that was one of the things that was distinguishing in what they were trying to do. They understood the need to tie cost of services to costs.
Right. So, I mean, as a result of that, if you have a significant deviation, if you will, between cost of service, you know, by type of user, you could end up with a differing rate structure. Because right now, our rate structure is really across the board. It's 3% on all customers.
Correct. And I think that's where the fallacy lies in, because our costs don't parallel the costs of solid waste collection. Where their costs for fuel and other items as they go up and down exasperate our revenues. And I think by doing something that's a little bit more pointed at strictly us as a regulatory, as a compliance body, not a regulatory body, as a compliance body, that allows us the opportunity to get a better handle on what our earnings should be and what our revenue should be.
Right. I just want everybody to understand that, you know, this could result in a significant change in the nature of the fee structure.
I just like the way you said bifurcated.
Yes. Well, I just, you know, try to sound fancy, I guess.
It's a tough word to use correctly.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Here's my question. Have we had anything to do with R3 Consulting before, or is this our first encounter?
I think the agency used R3 Consulting prior in establishing the in auditing the solid waste management fees prior. So I believe that was the case. Garth is here if you'd like to ask him a question.
Any questions?
Okay. So please introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Garth Schultz, president with R3 Consulting Group, and thank you for consideration of the contract. We're happy to be of service here. Our firm provided an audit of your IWMA fee revenues many years ago now. I think it was 2019. So it was one of the first audits of the revenues that had been done at the time, working directly with the haulers and the landfill operations to affirm what they'd been collecting, how they'd been collecting it. So that's our only other engagement that we've had with the IWMA.
I think also Paso Robles, if I'm not mistaken, you work for us as well.
Too. We've worked for Paso Robles. We're working for City of San Luis Obispo right now, and then also doing work that is on behalf of other entities, special districts. Nice to see you, Director Guthrie. We saw each other last night for City of Arroyo Grande meeting. One of my colleagues was presenting in Grover Beach last night. We're doing review of the waste connections rate application for 2025, and then also working on a change to their annual rate structure. So we've worked for the county on prior elements relating to assignment of agreements. So we are very familiar with every one of you, I believe, at this point in terms of your solid waste contracts and configurations.
I believe you had 7 people there last night.
Yeah, there was a bunch of folks.
The whole crew. Any questions for Mr. Schultz? No? Very good. Thank you, sir. Okay, any other discussion? Are you looking for a motion?
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Thank you. Second. Got a first and second.
Ms. Barton? Oh, sorry. Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on to item 14, the waste
characterization study. Once again, the recommendation is approve staff's ranking and recommendation of MSW Consultants and authorize negotiation final contract for waste characterization study with the MSW Consultants and authorize the board president to sign the final contract with MSW Consultants. So waste characterization studies, just a little background on that. They take a comprehensive look at waste disposed at landfills. CalRecycle uses these studies to direct policy in managing solid waste. San Luis Obispo County landfills and our little small region have never been included in these studies. So the disposal that we are measured against typically comes from rural areas, largely urban areas. So it's important for us as an agency to understand how we measure up and understand where we need to apply our efforts. So the executive committee approved the RFP for the waste characterization study on September 26th. The RFP was posted. The bid remained open for 30 days and the closing date was November 1st. Only Mid-Atlantic Solid Waste Consultants submitted a proposal. This is confusing because there's an MSW Consultants based out of Southern California. So this one is not from Southern California. And on November 21st, a panel comprised of myself and 2 members of IWMA staff, along with 2 local jurisdiction officials, reviewed and rated the single proposal. The thing that's unique about this is MSW Consultants from Mid-Atlantic Solid Waste Consultants is the same company that did the waste characterization for CalRecycle. So the proposals were evaluated, and they were qualifications of firm, technical work plan, budget, and retainer. They rated relatively highly because they'd done this work before. They know exactly what they're looking at. They know exactly where they're headed. They know their proposal was. In the RFP, we asked them to compare it to the CalRecycle solid waste rate study, and being they'd done it, it was pretty easy for them to do. They're accurate and professionally provided a waste characterization services and reporting. They submit a competitive rate and compensation relative to the quality of work, and they correctly identify SB 1383 targets, including organics disposal of the 2021 study by CalRecycle. The fiscal impact on this is about $49,000. It's within our budget projections for the SB 1383 local assistance grant. So this is going to be funded through the local assistance grant. And it's a specialized scope of work, and the study utilizes the same methodology as CalRecycle in their 2021 study. So it's an apples to apples comparison. So we will be able to see exactly where we stand with one characterization done in dry weather, one characterization done during wet weather, and we'll be able to see where we stand within the state of California. And so that's why staff is recommending that we approve the staff's ranking and the recommendation of MSW Consultants, authorize staff to negotiate, finalize the contract for a waste characterization study, and authorize the board president to sign the contract with MSW Consultants.
Very good, thank you. Any discussion, questions? Nope. Seeing none, I'll look for a motion. I'd like to make a motion.
In public?
I have not. I asked at the beginning. Yeah. I don't think any public comment. No public comment. Thank you. Supervisor Spaulding, did you have a?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
To approve staff's recommendation.
I get a second?
I'll second.
Very good. I have a first and a second.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns? Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good, thank you. Item 15. Hey, video.
Okay, video content production and contract recommendation. We did a lot of RFPs this last 2 months. The recommendation is approve and accept staff's ranking and recommendation of Out West Digital and authorize staff to negotiate finalized contract for video production with Out West Digital and authorize the board president to sign the final contract with Out West Digital. The executive committee approved the RFP for video content production on September 26, 2024. On November 1st, 2024, a panel comprised of the IWMA executive director, the deputy director, program coordinator, and IWMA board member, Hammond, and outreach education contractor, and reviewed and rated the proposals based on the criteria for the RFP. This one, we received 16 proposals, which is why your board packet was close to 800 pages. The video content production had everybody from Core Park in a number of very qualified and extremely creative proposals. We went through the ranking process, the criteria for the scores with the qualification firm and personnel, the creative outline, the budget and retainer and or rates. We went through the process and I apologize, on your packet, it showed Hamlin Creative as being rated the highest. That was not the case because one of our board members was a little late in getting in my results and they took the one before that and put that in the board packet. The highest rated was Out West Digital. And they were rated higher primarily because of the budget that they came back with and that and upon their reference check, they checked out to be extremely, I don't know, how would I say it, extremely effective in what they're doing and overachieving in their goals. So the distinguishing characteristics on them are they produce and execute a high quality series of videos that portray the IWMA's message in a clear, concise manner that will reach a diverse audience. Clear constructive expectation of IWMA staff during pre and post production and provide deliverables including B-roll footage and still imagery. The competitive rate and compensation of the quality work presented in their proposal was clearly defining in their proposal. The fiscal impact on this was $48,000. And it's within our budget, once again, according to the SB 1383 local assistance grant. Going through 16 proposals was, and I thank Board Member Hammond for going through that gauntlet, but there were a lot of proposals. So the recommendation, once again, is to approve and accept staff's ranking of Out West Digital, authorize staff to negotiate the final contract, video contact production with Out West Digital, and authorize the board president to sign the final contract with Out West Digital. And if you have any questions.
Very good. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Robert, I thought, yeah, Peter, what was the Old West projection and time to produce something? In other words, how many months?
Oh, the Out West, their projection was well within our time slot. They had about a 4 month window. Mm-hmm. Because they're based out of Southern California, their ability to get here and get to work was, so we'll be probably focusing around the spring because that's when it's prettiest.
Yeah, I was most impressed with them too, out of all of the 16 too, it seemed like.
Definitely your scoring tipped the scale.
Yep.
Very good. Yes, yes, ma'am.
I again, during the executive committee meeting, we did talk about the fact that we're only talking about four video productions. Can you explain how there's actually more visual material than that? And just refresh my memory.
Sure. So during during the production of this, they will be shooting a significant amount of video file. They will vet it down to four finished products, at least four finished products, and maybe more. There is what's called B-roll after that, and those are short sections that of video that they'll have shot that we'll be able to utilize in our social media and outreach, that our member jurisdictions will be able to utilize in social media and outreach, and that we'll be able to pair up to create customized messaging for things that we want out in our media, in our public education and outreach program. During the reference check, one of the comments over and over again from the customers that they had was how well they produced their product and the amount of B-roll material that they made available that was high quality. They overachieve is that's what I heard time and again.
And that B-roll will belong to us.
Everything belongs to us.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes, sir.
Yeah, if I could just, for the record, since the staff reports indicate something else, so there must have been a new total that was out of 25 instead of out of 20. The record provide that?
For the record, what happened is that we were doing a running total on the part, so that was just four of the individuals ranking. When Board Member Hammonds came in, that we were working on the staff page at the same time because of the time crunch. So we had pulled that ranking out prior to Board Member Hammond's input being put in.
I understand that happened. So there's a new ranking, but it's not 1688. It's some other number.
You know, it's what I have on this, on the overhead screen. Out West is 1688. Hamlin Creative was 1670.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Sorry for the confusion.
There's no fifth number there, is all I'll say.
There's no fifth panel member.
No. Yeah, well, it's...
Somehow you got a one in there, but everybody has zero, and then it's like nobody else got a ranking, and then you just added 1 point. So if you're going to do it out of 25, that's fine. Then it's some bigger number than 1688.
Right. Because you can't get
to... You can't get to 1688 with only four panelists.
I'm gonna look for a lifeline.
I'm trying to read this one here to see if it had changed, but it's too small.
You're looking at me funny. And I see what you're saying. I don't know.
So, if I can suggest something, I think Director Guthrie, your concern is that the record accurately reflect the deliberation, especially the charts and the scoring.
If I was Hamlin, I would challenge it.
Right, right. So what I would recommend is that if I could just verbally ask your executive director to confirm that, is it Out West?
Out West
Digital is in fact the highest ranked. So setting aside the slide and the staff report,
right?
Setting came aside out as the highest
setting
rank.
Setting aside the slide at the staff report, Out West was because Board Member Hammond didn't rank anybody but Out West.
No, well, actually, it was two.
Yeah,
if you remember, it was Video Vets and Old West. Old West
so he only ranked the two.
Highest.
So yeah.
and Out West
something
did
like it would be
right. It would be higher.
1588 plus four
right,
or something.
Right,
but that's
exactly
not
what it'd be. But yes, I can say that. It looks incredibly awkward.
I personally would like to see us bring this back. I don't think there's a huge rush here to get this video.
No, I can bring it back in January.
I would hate to see this.
I share your concern. Yeah. I'll bring it back in January.
So we'll table this.
Yeah. I have no problem bringing it back in January. That makes total sense.
Okay. I did have a question I wanted answered, though. Member Marks' question related to it, though, is the narrative repackaged to fit 10, 30, and 90-second time frames. There's four finalized videos. Are they going to be one of them is going to be 10, one's 30, one's 90, and one's something else? Or what are the lengths of the four finalized videos that we expect out of this?
We expect the four finalized videos to be somewhere between 30 seconds and 1 minute, I believe.
Hello?
You're on.
Hi. My name is Ashley Cooter. I'm the program coordinator with the IWMA. So the request of the firm would be four narratives. So four separate narratives, one detailing recycling, one dealing with compost, and then each of those narratives would be resized for different outlets. So each narrative would be, there's story number one, and that's in three different time frames, and so on and so forth. So it would be total 12 packaged videos.
Okay, thank you. That's good to understand. And then the we own the B-roll, but if we wanted to use some of the B-roll, we would have to, you know, pick out 10, 20, 30 seconds of applicable B-roll to make what we want to make?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so their end product is a bunch of B-roll and four, well, really 12 pieces of video. Got it. Okay. Well, I realize we're going to table this, but I don't know. I'm just not comfortable spending that kind of money on such a short amount of videos. So,
very good.
You'd be surprised at the other costs.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's not cheap. All right. So,
Mr. President, President Robert, may I make a brief comment?
Sure.
So, I want to thank Supervisor Paulding for the chance just to do a quick refresh on the conflict of interest rules that apply to your board. And for your board, but also for members of the public who may be watching, there was a difference in the way that Supervisor Paulding responded and the way that Director Guthrie responded. So I just wanted to take a quick 30 seconds to clarify why that is.
Thank you.
So there are two laws that apply in the state of California for conflicts of interest. The first one is Section 1090, and the second is the Political Reform Act. In your capacity as elected officials of your respective member jurisdictions, we have done the analysis and have determined that that's either a remote interest or a non-interest under Section 1090. So what that means is, the way that the law is structured is there's the rule, there's the exception, there's the exceptions to the exceptions, there's the exceptions to the exceptions to the exceptions. In the case that there's a contract, for example, a TAG grant that is being approved for your member jurisdiction that you represent solely as an elected official, what we believe is the appropriate requirement under state law is that you simply recuse yourself. You can stay on the dais. You recuse yourself from the discussion and the vote. So that's what Director Guthrie did because it was a grant that was being submitted by the city of Arroyo Grande. If you have a personal or financial conflict, a personal business or financial conflict, there may be an exception that applies. So there are, again, there are so many exceptions that may apply, but the safest course of conduct here under the Political Reform Act is that if you feel that you have a personal, financial, or business interest, that you actually not just recuse yourself from the vote, but as Supervisor Paulding did, state the basis of your conflict and then step out of the room so as to avoid, and this is kind of a funny one, but even the appearance that you are influencing through serious looks at your fellow board members or nodding. Again, this applies not if it's just you as a city council member, as a supervisor, as a district board member, but if there's a personal, financial, or business interest that you have, then the safest course of action, unless you know that an exception applies, is to state your conflict and then to step out of the room during that discussion.
Daniel, in Jimmy's case, it's because of immediate family, his wife.
Wife.
In other words, is how he conflicted out.
That's exactly right. And so, again, what Supervisor Paulding did just beautifully, as if choreographed, is he stated his conflict, and then he stepped out of the room during the discussion, which is different from, again, if it's just a contract with your member jurisdiction, which is the whole point of this body, is to bring together all of the member jurisdictions and to provide assistance, both financial, technical, and otherwise. If it's just your member jurisdiction, you can stay for the discussion. In fact, some may say you're encouraged to stay for the discussion, but you would recuse from the discussion and the vote.
Very good. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, Mr. Pauling's situation is very clear. I do not understand. We're suggesting that Mr. Guthrie or any of us, if our jurisdiction is requesting something of this body, that we should recuse ourselves from voting. We have no personal interest in this. This is about our role as representing our jurisdiction on this body. And what I'm confused about is suggest that he who has no personal conflict of interest whatsoever in this should not vote on this issue. because think about that. What if you're at SLOCOG and, you know, there's a multi-million, you know, a $25 million freeway overpass or something going on in your jurisdiction? You're supposed to not discuss, not represent your jurisdiction, and only the other jurisdiction should be able to vote on what's going to affect your jurisdiction? That does not make sense. That's not what conflict of interest rules are about. We're here to represent.
Yes, thank you, Director Barbeau. And I suspect, again, many of you may have a similar question. California's conflict of interest rules are among the harshest and strictest in the nation. So just to be clear, the prohibition is not on any actions that may influence your member agency. It's about specifically contracts that this agency enters into with your member jurisdiction. So that's the case with the TAG grants, for example, is that there's a specific contractual relationship that's entered into. If, for example, there's an ordinance that's being discussed that affects your member jurisdiction, of course, you all are elected and appointed to this body and to your respective bodies to represent that. The one thing that I will just read is Section 1090 states that it prohibits an officer, employee, or agency from being financially interested in any contract made by them in their official capacity or by any body or board of which they are members. So the law is quite strict.
I understand. You're equating that as if, I mean, if we were doing a contract with, you know, Sousa Construction and I worked for, you know, I would, you know, recuse myself, right, if I worked with them or had an interest in them or something. But you're saying because I have an interest in the city is the contracting party, now that's the conflict.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly correct.
Daniel. Thank you. So that would not apply if we were voting on just something that was going to happen in our community, like the siting of a household hazardous waste thing or something like that.
So again, strictly, because I'm strictly on the basis of your position as an elected official. There may be other conflicts, a property-based
Well, we're a representative of the contracting
that's
party.
Right, that's right. That's
okay,
right.
Thank you.
I was just going to mention again, I thought, again, in Jimmy's case, it was because of a direct financial interest because of his wife. In other words, immediate family. That's the connection that I saw here.
Yeah.
Not because he was an elected official in that area.
Right. No, that's exactly correct. And I just wanted to clarify for the board and for the public the difference between what Supervisor Paulding did and what Director Guthrie did. Mm-hmm. Because within 5 minutes of each other, we had one person walking out of the room, but one person staying at the dais. And some people might ask, why didn't Director Guthrie step out of the room for the discussion about Arroyo Grande? So if I muddied the waters more, I apologize, but I did want to take the opportunity just to clarify. And then one last thing to add is, as Supervisor Paulding did, unfortunately, I don't know all of your financial interests. And so for personal business or financial interests, it is incumbent on you as elected officials to disclose that and to take appropriate action.
Be aware of it.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to suggest that perhaps as part of the onboarding of the new members that we might have in the coming year, that we could have a further discussion, a little mini workshop or something about this. But I've got some things happening after this meeting today. So at some point, I don't want to have to leave in the middle of the
closed session. We have a public comment on the closed session for public employee performance evaluation. The executive director.
No public comment.
See no public comment. Then I will ask the room to be cleared for a moment, please. We okay? Okay. Everybody back? We're missing some people. They go back to the office. Yeah. Okay. Can we adjourn back into open session? Any reportable actions? No reportable actions. Very good. Moving on to the board member communications, if anyone like to start.
Yeah, so first, I apologize for being late. I just way underestimated that Marsh Street work and then I made bad choices on my
There was a lot going on. Yeah. I was late.
So I missed the discussion. I'm guessing that the ad hoc community committee is going to be on dumping. Okay. I do wonder, so, you know, my vote on the TAG the one TAG item tonight is driven by, it's just too gray for me. And I do think this is another area that we need to do sooner than later is exactly how we're going to deal with things like the, so that it's clear what the, I mean, I'm even uncomfortable with, you know, with the ones we're doing, what I'll call regular, what would be regular staff work is in fact the match. So I'd like to see us talk about, and I don't know if we can do this from here, but if, you know, that we would also have an ad hoc committee that starts looking at that, because the sooner that we can, to me, clarify, because we have a lot of money and there's a whole bunch of people going to be coming for it. And I think that the clearer we can have of what our intention is going forward, how different pieces of it are going to be used is going to be pretty key over this next year. So those are mine.
I couldn't agree more.
Again.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't want to, this is not agendized, but I do want to say, I think there's a difference between a nonprofit that's asking for a grant and a public agency that has a budget and a tax base and all that. So we may, you know, I think it's a good idea to really look at it. Yeah. So I did hope that we could set a date for our January meeting, even though we're pulling the calendar until January.
Well,
but I'm going, okay, we're pulling the calendar until January. January, when are we going to be meeting again?
I think the January meeting date on the agenda was
22nd.
A good date. Let me
me on the calendar.
The rest of my
agenda. The 22nd.
One on
the- yeah, I think it's on the 22nd because we're going to set that agenda at the EC in December.
So the 22nd of January is when we're going to meet.
Mm-hmm. Here it is. The January meeting is January 8th.
8th.
Yep, there we go. 8th.
Yeah.
Okay.
January 8th, and so that's a good meeting date because we'll have set the agenda. At the December EC meeting that we think we pushed into the 13th.
Okay.
I'll just comment. So that is also the meeting for RAC happens to meet at the same time. I may be the only one that has a conflict. And I could make a choice there, but okay.
I may be on the RAC too. I don't know.
So we can always move it.
So the 8th is the second Wednesday.
Yeah, it is the second Wednesday.
It also happens to be slow cog in the morning. Not that that's a problem, but.
Well, potentially we can move it to the 15th. So let me look at that. Let me get with it. That was one of the things I want to get with the calendar with General Services and see what our openings are. So we can do that. And I'll get back.
If it comes down to it, I'll be here on the 8th. But.
And now the other thing is that I think this might be Lauren's last meeting.
Is it?
It is. So I want to thank you for your service.
Where's the cake?
The year that you've been, because you did not run for re-election.
Right. So Jen Ford and I did not run for re-election. So both of us have gone off. We had our final meeting last night. And then there'll be just one more in December.
Microphone.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Thank you.
So, Jen Ford and I have both gone off, and last night was our last meeting, and in January there will be just kind of a coronation of the two new guys, and we'll fade into the distance. So anyway, I have enjoyed this greatly, coming here, and at one point I did a lot of solid waste stuff in my career years ago, so it's been interesting to see where it's gone from the first, you know, inklings of a whole new movement. So it's been interesting to hear and see how that is going. So anyway, I'm glad to have been here and have met all of you. And
well, let's give her a hand.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you all. Thank you for your service. Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Hammond?
I have nothing other than the fact that I guess we'll see everybody next year. Happy holidays. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Sure. We're
already there, then. Seems like.
That's it. Okay. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.